Hello.
Hello.
And welcome into episode
161.
159. Nine. That's okay. You weren't here the last time.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I still haven't listened. I always listen to ones I'm not here for, but it's been a busy couple weeks.
159.
159.
159 of Bourbon Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is slightly better than what we're thinking. Carrie, we got Chad back.
Skeleton crew, hello.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, Sean.
Oh, hi, hoy.
You are sitting in the hoy hoy chair.
Sure, I am sitting in the...
No John today because somebody's got to pay for the derby party. That's okay.
That's true.
And then I think Heather's...
Is that next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday. Yeah, yeah. Coming up. May 4th. Already.
May 4th.
Yeah.
Happens on the same day as Star Wars Nerds.
Yes. And... Yeah. Sometimes it falls like that. On occasion, it'll do that.
Well, I will do my shopping before I come to... Party on down. Yeah.
And then Heather, I think, is still under the weather. I think she's still sick.
Yeah.
She's just not used to this pollen and
it's
all this Kentucky.
I thought that too, but so many people I know have had this that aren't allergy sufferers.
Well, but the thing of it is the pollen's worse and you get allergies and then it turns into a sinus infection.
Yeah, I had the crud for well over 2 weeks.
You need one of them nasal Navage things that sucks.
I think she has one.
Heather's got one. She's using it daily.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, she still wasn't well yesterday. She texted me yesterday, and she still wasn't well.
Get better, Heather.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, because Lauren's got it, too. I mean, in all fairness, Lauren has it, too.
Yeah, Jen had it before me, and we thought it was just the normal,
right.
Here's
spring,
pollen,
here comes.
But I got it 3 days after she got it, and yeah, it's unlike anything. It was unlike any experience I've ever had with pollen or, congestion.
Mm. Yeah.
I never get headaches. Mm-hmm. I had a 24-hour just pounding headache and
See, I get all that with allergies. So I would have just because I mean, when you go outside, you can see the layer of pollen laying on stuff. It's insane.
I smell a new variant. I don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
Hey, you shut your mouth on that.
I finally threw in the towel and sent my GP to get me a steroid and an antibiotic.
Bird flu, right?
Yeah,
that's the new thing.
So it's taking over the cows, right?
Yeah, it's in the cows now.
It's in the milks.
Avian flu part.
Yeah, part whatever. I don't know. I'm over.
Watch out for them straight pangolins, man. they all up in the hen house doing stuff.
Don't right. even. That's no, not. Yes.
No.
This is not the show for that.
No.
We need to start a conspiracy show. We really do. Because I used to be one of those people that thought that the conspiracy people were very fringe. I think I've kind of become those people.
Well,
right?
You know, I like to put on my tinfoil hat every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I got some. And I've seen, I've started to see more and more people saying that the aliens are in the ocean. And I'm not lying about that.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Conspiracies are like stereotypes. Behind each one of them, there's a kernel of truth.
Absolutely.
And so that's what gets them started.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess the Indian, the country, India, sent that satellite or whatever that was. They sent that spaceship up to the moon that was orbited in the moon.
And it crashed.
Well, but it's...
their attempt to see the dark side of the moon? Is that what
it
was?
Yeah.
Pink Floyd paid
for it. But I guess they sent back pictures of the two... American moon rovers that are still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, now, haha, see, this is, it wasn't staged. This is real.
So basically, the Indians came to Las Vegas and went out in the Mojave, right?
Exactly.
And to the sound stage.
We can play this game all day, right? the sound stage.
I'm here
Area
for it.
51.
Yeah. I'm absolutely here for it. No, I love a good conspiracy theory,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They make the world go round. I mean, literally.
They really do.
I forgot. There is a anthropologist who has done research, and I read this book. I need to reread it. That gossip and conspiracies are actually good for the evolutionary train.
Well, and it's the same thing as, I think, kind of with myths also.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And I always go back to the Simpsons. I reference the Simpsons so much in my life. But I think the Simpsons episode kind of put it best with myths or, things that might not be completely historically accurate, because in the Simpsons episode where they're celebrating Springfield and Jebediah Springfield, and turns out that he's Hans Sprungfeld and he was a pirate or whatever, but people hold on to this myth of Jebediah Springfield being this great pioneer dude who started Springfield, and Lisa realizes that the myth holds weight, right? Because it makes people happy
and it binds communities. I mean, that's reading communities formed around these
things. not saying
it's all going sociology on this today.
Well, and I'm not saying that every myth is you know useful, but there are some that, in terms of tying communities together and that kind of thing, like John was telling me about this neighborhood in Chicago that had some kind of rat hole or something.
Oh yeah, and the city filled it in. It was a rat shaped hole in the pavement,
and they got mad about it.
Well,
no, everybody loved it, but the city of Chicago filled it in this week.
Yeah. So
apparently, no, they got mad that it got filled in.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So apparently it was a rat-shaped hole in this neighborhood, and then people were saying, no, it was really a chipmunk or something. But it doesn't matter, because people were like, oh, look, it's this really cool thing, right? And then people would come and they'd put things down the hole, and they would, like, I guess, you know, put flowers around the hole or something. So it was this whole culture, and the neighborhood was proud of the hole, right? Because it was the neighborhood. It was a neighborhood thing.
Yeah.
And I guess
it's an identity.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that according to what John was kind of telling me, and I haven't read this for myself, but according to what John was kind of telling me, you know, obviously it started to become a little bit of a nuisance because of all the traffic and people coming to look at the hole. It becomes a tourist attraction, right?
Because Instagram influencers want to take their pictures with the fucking
so
rat
then
hole.
The city came and tore up the hole and then filled in the hole, but took away that neighborhood's rat hole identity.
So, dear listeners, if you want to go further down this road, Robin Dunbar, who came up with the Dunbar number, is the anthropologist who talked about gossip,
cultural anthropology,
and why it's like social grooming. Mm-hmm. So we no longer are covered in hair, so we don't sit around picking fleas out of each other. So this gossip replaces that part.
Really?
Yeah. So go read some works of Robin Dunbar.
I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think gossip is the lifeblood of an office. If you actually physically go to an office,
right?
Like that's one of the lifebloods of an office.
Oh, without question.
You got to have office gossip.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Doesn't matter what it is,
good or bad. Right?
Yes.
It's going to be there.
It's cohesion to keep the office, you know, running. We all do run around. Use the new word from the kids. What's the tea?
Spill some tea.
We just sit down. Yeah. Listen, and it. You know, when you think about it, it lubricates, and we all sit there and laugh or whatever, and then we go about our day, and everybody feels better and included, except the people who don't get the spilt tea.
Or the people that that spilt tea is about, right?
Word.
Now, I will say, and again, I buy into some conspiracy theories, not all conspiracy. There's some that I'm just like, come on, man. They're just too, I just can't with some of these.
Right.
Yeah. The moon landing for me is one of them.
That you think really happened.
Yeah. Personally, right? Yeah. And I'm not going to argue ever with Buzz Aldrin, even in debt.
Punched.
Right?
You get punched straight up in the nose and laid out in the street.
Right. That he knows where he went.
Right.
He absolutely knows he went to the moon, and you're not going to tell him otherwise. Right.
He's not here for your shit.
Exactly.
No, he is not. He said, I about died on that trip. Now I'm not listening to you, son. Yeah.
So I do have a topic that kind of includes a conspiracy theory, because there's one conspiracy theory that I'm thinking of I didn't want to bring up because it could fit into this topic. So, you know, we talk a lot about shows and Netflix shows and shows we should watch and all that kind of stuff on here a lot. And there's this documentary on Netflix that people were telling me that I really needed to watch. So finally, last week, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch this. There's nothing else on. I'm going to watch it. Because to me, at this point, sports is kind of over.
Yep.
That's terrible.
I'm not a fan of baseball. The Penguins are not in the playoffs because they suck. The NFL draft is over at this point. And, you know, yeah, there's this UFL, but I haven't watched one second of that. And
I watched about 5 minutes.
I have a feeling that it's going to fold. So to me, sports are kind of.
Yeah.
There's nothing I'm super paying attention to.
Right? It is a dead period.
For me. So. People were telling me that I had to watch this documentary called The Greatest Night in Pop. What? You heard of this one?
No.
It's on Netflix. It is about the making of We Are the World. And how they got everybody together, and how the song came together, and how everything came together. It's only about an hour and a half.
I wonder if this were the, because I saw a quote recently and I laughed about it. So maybe it came from this Netflix thing. Apparently, like Stevie Wonder said, if we don't do this in one take, me and Ray Charles are going to drive everybody home or something.
So that's where that's from. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly where that's from.
Okay.
And it's great because they were filming the video while they were recording the song, right?
Uh-huh.
So they have all this great footage. Right. It's really good footage. But the Stevie Wonder thing, and I'll get to that in a second.
Legend, so, by the way.
Right. So you all remember We Are the World, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was the
1985.
No, I thought it was the Wish.com version of We Are the World, of the Do They Know It's Christmas.
Well, no, it was because, yeah, yeah. And they addressed that in the documentary, the fact that Bob Geldof did that. That song.
It's terrible. It's my favorite Christmas song of all.
You are wrong, Terry.
Incredible.
Well, you are wrong.
The pick of all these World AIDS songs that were the craze in the 1980s, it's We're Stars with all the metal guys.
Yeah.
Hearing Aid. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the pick of the songs from that.
No.
So anyway.
But We Are the World is a trash song, I think.
So they address the fact that they were inspired, and it's Lionel Richie. Right. And Quincy Jones, no.
Check out the next documentary.
Oh, is there one on him?
Just shut up.
Is there one on him?
We can't discuss. I don't want to get books.
So
we'll talk off camera.
So they, you know, they're on the back of this Geldof. The Do They Know It's Christmas Time, right, or whatever? Feed the World. Coming off the back.
He
of
was knighted for that.
The Bob Geldof thing, right? Sir Bob Geldof.
So I don't like Mondays.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
And it's only an hour and a half. And I think it's worth a watch just because, number one, I feel like there's a Mandela effect with this song where you think that you know the people who are in it.
Yeah.
But some of the people that people thought that were in it are not in it.
Yeah.
Like they wanted to get Madonna.
She's not in it.
Willie Nelson was there.
Yes.
The Boss was there.
Yes.
Dionne Warwick was there.
Yes.
The Pointer Sisters.
Yeah. No.
Huey Lewis. No.
The Pointer Sisters weren't there.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure.
I think they were on the front row.
No.
Lionel Richie, obviously.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis. Yeah.
Huey Lewis was there.
Tina was there, right?
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay, no. So, Diana Ross was there. But they wanted Prince. Prince wasn't there. They really wanted Prince.
Prince don't do that.
Right.
There's, Lionel Richie talks about how he called Stevie Wonder because he wanted to write the song with Stevie Wonder, and it ended up he wrote the song with Michael Jackson, and Stevie just never called him back.
Oh,
and
really?
My comment was because Stevie couldn't find a phone.
He couldn't see the dial, the rotary dial, dog. Right. What's the matter with you?
Right, but you know the conspiracy theory is that Stevie Wonder really isn't blind.
Really?
Yeah, you've never heard this one?
Never heard
Sean,
that one.
You've heard this one.
No, I haven't.
You've never heard this one?
No.
Oh, there are people that will pinpoint like stuff he's done on television and this that they're like, oh no, he can see. Like there is a conspiracy
that
theory
blind,
out there. Yeah,
there
about
are pictures of him from when he was a child and his eyes do not
I'm
work.
I'm telling you, there are people who swear to this day that Stevie Wonder is not
blind. You know why? Because he got echolocation. That's the reason I've seen
in
that blind in blind people. Yes.
60 Minutes. You see that same one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had the heightened senses. Yeah.
Clicking around and like, it's crazy. Have you seen it, Karen? Like, using their voice, like clicking their voice. That they know where, like, the echo is bouncing off. They know depths and distance.
No kidding.
It's insane.
I've never seen that.
It's wild.
Huh. So, you know, they talk about how the sheer, and it really is amazing. You can call this a second tier song. It probably is. It is what it is. But the fact that they were able to get all these people in one room for one night to record this thing,
check their egos
in
the
1980s and 1985 was pretty impressive.
Was it done in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay.
So what they did, and again, I can tell you,
was written by Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie.
Yes. Yeah. And Lionel Richie tells stories about being in Michael Jackson's house and just being like, he tells this story, I don't want to totally spoil it, but he tells this story about they're sitting there, and I guess Michael Jackson never played an instrument, so he hummed everything, and he would hum stuff into a tape recorder, and Lionel Richie, I guess, he had a piano at the Michael Jackson had a piano at his house, but so Lionel Richie's sitting there, and they're trying to come up with the lyrics and all this stuff, and Lionel Richie hears this noise, and I'm just going to say it has to do with a snake, and Lionel Richie got the hell out of there.
I'm just going to. No, the Pointer Sisters were there.
Oh, were they? Okay, they didn't mention them.
June and Ruth.
Okay.
All three of them are dead, though.
They didn't mention them. I still, the documentary never answered the question as to why Dan Aykroyd was there.
Because Dan Aykroyd was a baller. That's all you need to know.
I mean, L.A., he's probably there.
Well,
you know.
So
it was proven that he could sing.
No, right. But they half addressed it. So the record company, I can't remember, I guess it was Lionel Richie's record company, right?
Is who I think they, at that time it was A&M.
It may have been. So all the A&R people, I guess they made these wish lists of artists, right? Mm-hmm. And one lady, and people who were on the record label, obviously, because if they're on the label, they're easier to get, I mm-hmm. guess, at that time. And so the one lady was like, oh, Dan Aykroyd. And that's all she ever said. Like, she never said why.
Just said his
just
name.
Just said, oh, Dan Aykroyd was on their list.
Elwood and Jake.
Bob Geldof was there.
Yeah, he was. He came and he said some words about, like,
why
this was important and why this was important to him.
But he didn't sing on it, did he?
No.
He says he was in the chorus.
He may have been, but
he was in the chorus.
Huh. Well, I mean, there's so many voices.
Waylon Jennings was there and walked out.
Really?
Yes. They show him walking out, why? And they talked about why he walked out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe now you're going to make
Now I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, about that world's dumbest song. I still have an unopened copy DVD set of every piece of concert footage from Live Aid.
Really?
Box set.
Wow. Oh my God. That was the thing. Like, in the 80s, it was all the Feed in the World and Farm Aids and Live Aids and We Are the Worlds and Do They Know It's Christmas and the Hearing Aid, the Metal Dudes or whatever. It's interesting because I don't think you could accomplish that today.
No, I mean, you could just say get somebody to say something or put up a little quick website or video and just kickstart it or whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, the last times for these was it 9/11? I remember the concerts for New York.
Oh, yeah. I feel
they did one for the Vegas shooting too, right? That's pretty recent.
Yeah,
they did one,
but I don't think they released it. They just did
a
TV special. I'm talking about, like, because this thing, when this came out, I mean, I remember it. You all remember it. The stupid video played on a loop on MTV. The song was everywhere that summer because the song, they recorded it it was the AMAs. So what they did was, it was really smart. They knew the AMAs were going to be,
and so they got everybody,
an after thing or whatever. So the song is recorded in like March or something, and then it comes out in May. And that song was everywhere. Like, it was ad nauseum.
Yep. Right.
And it coincided with that. Remember Hands Across America?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Pro tip, people had failed.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that. Causes nowadays, like, especially with social media, like, you can say that you're for or against something, and there's people going to be a group of people saying, well, you're wrong, your career is over.
Shouldn't send money to Africa because, you know, someone's going to be used by a warlord. It'd be something
or whatever. Or whatever.
The last cause, because I did this, was the one where you dunked your water.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The ALS challenge?
Yes. There's evidence on the Facebooks. So you can go see me dunk in the water. And unlike most people, I sent a donation in.
The funniest one of those, that was the 50 Cent one. Did y'all ever see that one, 50
no.
Cent?
I don't
where
think
he
so.
Challenged Floyd Mayweather?
No.
God, it's the funniest, like, 10-second video. I was really on the floor.
But see, those are challenges.
Is it the one where he made fun of Floyd not being able to read?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
No.
I'm talking about...
You can read one page of a Harry Potter book. It's the best.
I can't read one page of a Harry Potter book. Not allowed.
I'm talking about getting, like, major musical stars in one room to do one record. You know, I don't think it could happen today.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Think there's probably...
Well, the record industry
what can you get them all to agree on?
Yeah.
Right?
And the record industry has also changed because they're all streaming now. There's there are record labels, but...
Yeah, why would they want the record company to get any of that money?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just... That's the thing that, you know, we can just... You know, we went through that and it's a thing that's no more, right? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you could get, like, that level of heavy hitters in the industry to all agree and give a shit about something, right?
Because
the internet, as much as it's done for the good, it's also done for the bad because, like, it's so easy to be divisive on any topic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, like, obviously, feeding people, I mean, that's just something that I feel like everybody can get behind.
But there's going to be those internet jackasses.
Nowadays, for sure. But, you know, the fact that people...
We got inflation here. Why aren't we trying to give our money supply? Yeah, I could just... Yeah. Yeah, just fucking dumb
but
shit.
But the fact that they put this record out and, like, went, like... Everybody, but I don't think I bought it. But like,
I think I have a maxi single copy of it.
But it went. I mean, it was huge.
7-inch. Yeah,
it was huge. Like, it sold out.
Sean bought the single of it.
No, about vinyl.
I thought it was just a terrible song, and it might not have been, but it's because it was forced down our throats.
I think that's why, because it was hard. Was that video was played on a loop every 5 minutes on MTV.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like We Are the World, because that was more organic, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was like Bob Geldof bought his friends in, and nobody knew what's happening.
The Christmas song.
Yeah, Christmas song. Yeah. Do they know it's Christmas?
Yeah.
He brought people in, and nobody knew that was going on.
Right.
And they just did it.
Well, and it was funny, too, because they wanted to keep this thing kind of hush-hush. Mm-hmm. So when they sent out the letters to all the musicians or whatever, they redacted the studio location so that it wouldn't get out in public.
Really?
Because they felt like if it got out in public and there was all these people that showed up.
I'm going to watch this tonight before I go to sleep.
You should. Mm-hmm. It's like an hour and 37 minutes. Yeah. And they don't talk to everybody who was there. I mean, I think they talked to Springsteen, Smokey Robinson, Lionel Richie.
Well, I know.
I thought Smokey was there.
Yeah. And I looked at, it looks like almost every member of Huey Lewis and the News was there.
Yeah.
Because sports had gone big in 85, so they were all there because they were in town for the AMAs.
Yeah, because, well, and I will say this. So I did feel bad for Sheila E. because Sheila E., they invited her to come,
mm-hmm.
and she was really, they actually talked to her in the documentary, too. You know, because, I mean, she was a decent, pretty good musician, right?
Damn
great percussionist, right?
Oh, yes.
So she had played at the AMAs, and I think she may have won one or something like that. Anyway, her songs hold up today, in my opinion.
Well, it's because Prince wrote them.
Well.
Word.
But, so they invite her to come, and at some point halfway through the recording, they're like, hey, can you get Prince? Can you get Prince? And she finally realized that they had only invited her to try to get Prince there.
Yeah.
And I guess she had called him or gotten a hold of him, and he was at some after party. And again, mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it too much, but he was like, I want to do a guitar solo. And they're like, look, guy, we ain't got time to do a guitar solo in the middle of this. We're trying to get this done because mm-hmm. once these people left, that was it. They were gone, right? You're not getting retakes. You're not getting everybody back in the same room again. And so he said, nah, I'm not going to come. And then she realized kind of what was going on, and then she kind of left halfway through the recording. I did feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good on her for catching roads. Is that peace out, bitches.
But I guess Madonna just straight up told him no.
Well, that was really, she was really peaking, right? She like...
That was the height of her, because after that, it was all downhill.
But Cyndi Lauper, that was her height of her career.
Yeah.
And she was there.
She bop.
Hey, that's a good song. That actually is a very good album, to tell you the truth.
I'm not hating it. I never bought it, but I remember listening
My
to it.
My dad did. My dad loves Cyndi Lauper.
Tom After Tom is an incredible song.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, I remember when, what's her face? What's Al Gore's wife when she came
Tipper.
After?
Tipper.
When she came after She Bop.
Yeah. Oh, so the story on that is Cyndi Lauper's boyfriend at the time, who was in the Time After Time video,
mm-hmm.
And I guess was kind of...
She's so unusual.
She's kind of like her manager at the time, or whatever, told her not to do it. And then she was like, nah. And then she ended up doing it. And then she had one of the solos or whatever. I personally, I mean, I know y'all are saying it's a bad song. I don't think it's a bad song.
Oh, I can't.
For what it is.
For what, I mean, yeah.
I can't even.
I'll have to go to Mama L's and look through my archive. I may have the vinyl. I may have bought the 12-inch of it. I can't remember. But I do know We Are the World was like, that turned into a whole album series.
Did it?
Really? I think it did.
I don't remember that.
There were lots of, oh my God. Because they did like.
Because I would have been 10 years old when it dropped in 85.
We were in high school.
Yeah, we were in high school.
I was a junior and you were a sophomore, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even in the school year, even in the next year, like it was still a thing. So like we did it at like the end of the year kind of school concert that you have. The elementary school concert that you have. Yeah.
So both of those things led to what was ultimately Live Aid, right?
I believe so.
Well, no.
Or did
Geldof, I think Live Aid was the year before.
Was it 84, 85?
Because they conceived, because so the Christmas thing I think was 84 because Lionel Richie actually started talking to Harry Belafonte and Quincy Jones
mm-hmm.
about doing this, a song here. with a American
Banana Boat
artist
song remix.
Gonna get it blocked.
In 1984. Okay. But they didn't record this until 85.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, so educate me here. Is there is like the Banana Boat song like pejorative? Is it like
no?
Is it,
I don't think okay. so. We did it in a 4-H talent show.
Well, like Sean said I was going to get a block, and I was like, "Am I missing no. something here? Is it got like some?"
I was talking about the block from our fearless leader over here, man.
No, I think.
How do you mean by bananas?
Yeah,
I think the Banana Boat song is perfectly fine.
I don't know what Tally's saying. You know,
yeah.
Come, Mister Tallyman, carry
tally me banana.
What does that even mean?
I mean,
count the bananas that you were loving.
It's also a song in one of the greatest movies of all time.
Wasn't a Disney movie?
Was it Beetlejuice?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Because she dances. You better hurry up because they're about to reboot it.
That's Shake, Shake, Shake Sonora at the end. The Banana Boat song is when they're all at the table and they get possessed and they do the.
Never saw it.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't of interest to me.
No.
Jen's seen it. Like,
oh,
she,
I love it. They're making a sequel. For whatever
they've
that's
got to ruin
worth.
Every movie out there.
Well, I will say that at least Tim Burton is doing it, and Michael Keaton is in it again.
I gotcha.
They left Jeffrey Jones out for reasons.
Because he's a predator
for reasons.
Yes.
He was in like every '80s movie.
Oh,
he was
God.
Even on Deadwood, like in the early 2000s.
Was he?
Uh huh. He was great in that show.
He was chasing around Ferris Bueller, trying to get him in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I know why he's not in it.
Right.
That's for another show.
But Winona Ryder's in it. Really? Catherine O'Hara's reprising her role. So as much as I am against like sequels or reboots from things that are in past, I think this one has potential just because original cast for the most part, except I don't think Alec Baldwin's in it, and I don't know about Gina
Davis.
He
got his own issues right now.
Right. Right. But at least Tim Burton is directing and I think wrote the script. So
apparently there's a new Roadhouse out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's on Netflix. Amazon Prime.
It has nothing to do with the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse.
Jeez.
Just it does have Conor McGregor, so it's
oh.
It
so
might be worth
a real fighter in there.
Yeah, it might be worth just watching him be wild. Which I heard he's wild.
So yeah, we are the world. But again, it's like when we talked about last episode with the
was Rick James at We Are the World?
No.
Okay.
No. There wasn't enough cocaine there.
Right.
People already snorted it.
Between he and Carrie Fisher, they just...
yeah.
They were both in L.A. at the same time.
Right. Yeah. So, but again, I think as much as the song, you think the song's crappy, whatever you think of the song, I do think it's one of those points in history, just like we talked about the points in history, a point in history in the last episode, Chad, you weren't here, but the guy with the Bronco and...
Oh,
that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. But again, I feel like We Are the World is a point in history where you can like say,
this is where I was.
I hated the song. It was ad nauseum. But it became a cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
Right? So was Who Let the Dogs Out, right? And it doesn't get enough love.
Well, but they didn't make a documentary on that.
Not yet.
Yet.
Does anybody have like $500,000?
I don't even
know
who did that song.
Bahama Men.
Yes, the Bahama Men.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was like a grown-ups groups like Menudo.
Mm-hmm.
They just had members come rolling in and out over
in and
the
out.
Years.
Yeah.
Because they were a big reggae group and they just had people keep rolling in and out.
Oh, you know something crazy? Like, I guess I've been gaslit my whole life. You know what I recently learned? I read an article about a month ago. You know who is not Jamaican? Actually served in the armed forces of the United States.
Oh, Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Huh.
I thought he was Jamaican.
Well, he's got a good character he's playing.
Well, no, the voice comes from, I think when he was trying to get citizenship, he may be Bahamian or Jamaican, but he was trying to get citizenship.
But he served in the forces.
He did. But and
maybe a Marine. I can't remember.
He was a Marine.
Yeah.
And the voice comes from like how he would act in a bathroom or something would echo, and that's where that... His voice.
I thought because all his songs were like,
yeah. Chad, you know who I thought you were going to say, and I'm for real. I thought you were going to say Snow.
Oh, MC Snow. He's from Canada,
right?
Is he friends with Drake?
Yeah,
he ain't Jamaican.
Yeah, that song's a banger though. Informer's a great song.
I have the cassette single upstairs.
Whatever he's like,
a leaky boom boom down.
No, Shaggy is Jamaican born.
Oh, okay. But naturalized.
Ah, he served to get the citizenship.
But his voice, when they talked to him, like, was nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like a normal, deep voice.
Regular
like,
voice.
All I got to say, it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
But yeah, I really thought you were going with Snow. That song, you talk about a song being everywhere for 10 minutes. Oh,
yeah. Is Drake not in a wheelchair? Come on now.
For what?
Oh, yeah, I don't. Oh, my God.
From Degrassi High. Yes. See, I only watched the original Degrassi. That's what we had in my house.
Actually, there was one before that that you probably didn't watch.
Well, we watched the one from the 80s.
Which one? Middle school or elementary?
Middle.
And there's an elementary, too.
Oh, I don't know.
I know that just okay. because from the daughter watching that.
Gotcha. So. No, but yes, Drake was, and he was in a wheelchair in the,
he got,
yeah.
He got chaos.
But the bottom line is, I thought you were going with Snow.
No, that would have been wild. If that
talk about a cultural touchstone, yeah. Right?
It's not one hit wonder, right? Mm-hmm.
Do you remember like when you first heard that song?
It was the 80s, wasn't it?
That's it was the 90s.
Was it 90s?
Yeah,
early
90s? Early 90s. Yeah. Early to mid 90s. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Played the hell of that song. It's still a good song. Yeah.
I think it's still a good song. It holds up. If it comes on in 90s on 9 in XM, I'm listening to it.
MC Snow's Informer.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
when it gets in your head, it's an earworm.
Right?
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. No, it's a banger. I think it is.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, that's a great song. Okay. Do you all shower daily in your lives? Like you get up? You don't?
No. Well, you work from home. I do. Some days I shower. It depends on what happens at the gym, but I might shower twice a day.
Once a week, whether I need it or not.
Well, that's because you work from home. Jen would not let that happen.
Never.
No, but for real, you know, not in every day.
No, okay. Every other day.
So, growing up, like, there were times where I would just, like, especially, like, New Year's Day, man, I just watched football, and I would, and, like, John, I wish John was here for this topic, because John is appalled if I don't take a shower. Like, appalled.
That's right? How my mom was. My mom's a Virgo or whatever.
He can't stand not taking a shower. He can't stand it. But I saw this article in the New York Post the other day. That
quality piece of journalism. All right.
Daily showers are purely performative and have no real health benefits.
Oh, yeah,
experts insist.
Yeah, it is. Totally. Yeah, it is. Now, kind of in the winter, unless I've been to the gym, I don't lather the whole body up because it dries your skin out.
Just get all ashy and shit.
Yeah, I just, you know, kind of do the pits and privates and move on.
And that's what this article, I legitimately read the article, and it did say that you should just, like, I'm going to use the term whore bath.
That's what it is. Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
Pits and privates, yeah. People. Do your pits and your privates.
Yeah. But somebody privates actually, so I saw the original post on the Twix, right? And I saw somebody had community noted it that if you were in a tropical climate, you do need to shower on the regular to prevent bacteria. That's what somebody community noted it.
No, because again, the bacteria forms in your pits and privates.
I really wish John was here for this because he would be appalled at both of you.
But it just depends.
It is what it is. Right?
When I'm on vacation from the workplace and not going to work, it might be 3 days.
Yep.
I mean, just because
really?
I get up, I'll change clothes. But just until I smell the funk of Sean, then I'll say I need to get a shower.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. If I get up and I'll exercise in the morning and then I'll shower. But like on a Monday, if I'll run in the morning, I'll shower. Then I'll go to boxing in the afternoon and I come home and I won't shower. But I shower the next morning.
That's fine. The reason I shower because I go do jujitsu, so it's like we're on nasty ass mats and people
trying to avoid that staph infection.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now.
I had one of those, son.
Ooh. My brother,
in my pinky finger, bro.
The Candy King of the Midwest. When he was in high school, he wrestled because that's what you did in between football and whatever
basketball season or baseball
and
season.
Every single person on that wrestling team got ringworm.
Yes, because you have to shower.
You share showers and stuff.
Well, no, because the mats.
The mats. Oh, from,
yeah. You have to shower to get that off you. I mean, yeah. You don't, I mean, that's the reason. So.
Ringworm, psoriasis, and tetter. What was that? Oh, John were here. He would know what that commercial was. Blue Star ointment. That was it. Shout out to Blue Star ointment.
So that's interesting.
I grew up in a household where my mom expected us to shower every day.
Uh-huh.
And when I first left home, I'm like, that's bullshit. I'll shower when I want to shower.
I grew up, I didn't shower every day. It was like bath on the weekends, pits and privates during the week before you went to school.
Mm.
you know, kind of the sink bath thing. And then when I got into high school and we ended up having two showers, I'm like, oh, I'm going to shower now because we got two of them. I like right. it.
So have you all ever heard of this? This again, it's the TikToks. So I don't know. Pheromone maxing.
I heard of pheromone colognes and pheromone perfumes.
So pheromone maxing is apparently a trend.
Okay.
It is a TikTok trend. It's mainly among young men.
Of course it is. Yeah.
And the theory behind it is you don't shower, you don't wear deodorant for weeks.
That's just
weeks.
Funky.
Because your natural pheromones, you want to maximize those, right? To because the pheromones draw the
In my day we called that ostracizing.
The ladies, right?
Ladies would say, "Can you talk to so and so cuz he stinks?"
Cuz he's got that stinky.
But this is an actual thing. To be like a whatever male, whatever, I don't even know the letters.
I got news for y'all. They don't work.
Right.
They don't work.
What, pheromones?
I mean, pheromones are a thing and they work, but not in this modern society. Now, if we out in the damn apocalypse or something, right. then it might work.
If we out somewhere in the bush.
But it ain't going to work now. Well, you got it on the subway with my ass and you're like, I smell you 20,000 feet away. That ain't happening.
But yes, I think it's especially among like teenage boys, mm-hmm. which is even worse
right.
because teenage boys probably stink
the most.
They're horrible.
Right.
I remember being a teenage boy. My mother was like, your ass is funky. Go get a shower.
But this is an actual thing that is a trend. I believe it's mainly on the TikToks, but it's just like I think it's called pheromone maxing. I think that's what it's called. But yeah, you don't shower for like not just days, weeks.
Mm-mm. Wow.
No.
I think you still have clean clothes, but you don't shower or deodorant or anything like that.
You got to do your pits, bro.
You got to get your privates too. I don't want to smell you.
And no one else? You're going to get some infections down there and then you're going to get nobody.
That's the thing. I guess that's my thing. And, you know, I've seen these other stories about, like, people in other countries. Like, there's this dude, I think he was like a yogi, mm-hmm. right, in India or something, who hadn't showered or bathed in, like, 25 years, 30 years or mm-hmm. something like that.
That's acceptable. That's his country. His business.
No, I mean, that's his business.
But I don't want to be near him.
I don't know how great that is, but... Yeah, I don't know. And maybe it is a Western world thing. I feel like when I lived in Russia, you didn't do that regularly.
No, you didn't because let's look. It was
Soviet Russia. Shower takes you,
right. takes you. But the water, you know, the utilities and the plumbing wasn't up to U.S. standards. So it's probably like, don't worry about that, son. Just go on.
Well, it's just like basically taking a wet lead bath.
Yeah.
Also, when the city shuts off your hot water for 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they got to clean out the pipes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the showering a day, which if it's your thing, is a purely American Western Hemisphere kind of thing.
Now, I have met people in my lives that take like multiple showers per day.
I'm not for that. I'm like once a day. Again, like I said, if I go to boxing in the afternoon, I come home, I ain't showering until the next day.
Yeah, well, to my point, like we did a bunch of yard work and stuff yesterday. So we got in last night. I took a shower. I haven't taken one today. I'll take one tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got you.
Now, see, at least I will give John credit to this point is that. If it's a mowing day, right,
mm-hmm.
he will do his exercises, then go out and mow, then do a shower. There was a point, though, where I think that he would do shower after exercise and shower after mowing. I'm like, what's the point?
Do all your stuff and then go get one shower.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm for that.
And literally, the only time
after you cooled the fuck off. I had to sit in front of a fan yesterday for a while.
You know, there's nothing but worse than being in the shower hot. It's awful.
Because you come out just sticky and hot still.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I can't exercise like at lunchtime.
Oh, no.
Because to tell you the truth, the shower ain't going to take. Right. Right? It's just not going to take.
Right.
I'm just going to be a sweaty mess, and then I just showered for naught.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I'm kind of surprised.
Now, if you do jiu-jitsu, wrestling, any of those mat-based arts.
Oh, yeah, mat-based for sure.
Please shower twice a day. Maybe
and I'm actually
days.
Hoping that they're disinfecting the mats after you.
Oh, yeah, they do that. But I'm still not taking any chances. Because like I said, earlier this spring, I had a staph infection. My first one in like 6.5 years.
Wow.
And it was on my pinky finger. That son of a bitch hurt.
Because at least...
Does it just run its course? You have to take
antibiotics? No. If you let that run its course, you would die. That's blood what poisoning. I thought. No, mm-hmm. I had to take doxicillin, which mm-hmm. is one of those high-powered ones.
Yeah, you got hit it with the good stuff.
Hit it with the big hammer.
Yeah.
With the hammer. And the thing that freaked me out...
You had Daryl Isaacs that crap.
Yeah, the hammer. I had the Daryl Isaacs of antibiotics. What got me is like the week after it would clear it up, then all the skin where it was dies. Mm, and so really? Then you get this red... Mm-hmm. piece of skin with all the skin flakes off. You can't go back on the mats again because your skin is like inflamed. You're like another vector just waiting to happen.
Wow.
So it was 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So take care of yourself.
Yep. All right. So we all have pets or have had pets in past, right?
Still have them.
Did y'all see this article about these people who got this octopus?
No.
And apparently it ruined their lives.
Because octopuses are aliens.
Where did they put it?
Yeah, so I actually have the story on the Daily Mail. So these people, these people have this kid who's like obsessed with the octopus, right? Like he loves the octopies.
Octopuses.
I like octopuses myself,
it's
but right.
Octopuses of love.
So they decide to get this kid his own octopus. His own pet octopus.
Why?
And they go and they get this octopus and they are told that, yeah, the octopus is female, but it's fine, mm-mm. whatever. Well, apparently the octopus has eggs in it, mm-hmm. and then it laid 50 eggs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
So now they got 50 baby octopies. Octopuses, right?
Maude Adams, octopusy.
So instead of flushing them down the toilet like a rational human being, they decide to create their own system to care for the babies.
What?
Yeah. So
given their vast wealth of octopus knowledge. Experience.
Yes. So they make an aquarium for the babies.
Okay.
Right? For these 50 octopuses babies. And So
where's Ringo Starr? You need him.
Let's see. The transporting them this size is extremely risky. They got a full aquarium of foliage and all of this stuff. So they got to take care of them. They got to clean it. All this. But
saltwater tanks are no joke. It's right? a lot of effort.
So yes. They didn't realize. Hold on. Yeah. So the pet octopus. Blah blah blah. I hate the way the Daily Mail does their stories.
They want you to click on them ads, son.
No, the way that they frame them, like instead of putting like the summary at the top, they like mix it into the mm-hmm. to the story, so you think that you're reading. Anyway.
No, the British like that.
So
but on the website, it actually puts the summary at the top.
Yeah.
So they ended up starting a small fire. They dumped dirty seawater all over his kid's carpet, which I guess that they had to replace. And now they're having to care for these 50 octopuses.
You know why? Because they're aliens.
Well, the parents sound like dumbasses.
Right.
Who need to be taken over by the octopus aliens.
Cthulhu.
Yes.
Yeah, so now...
The great old one.
The father started calling aquariums and research facilities and begging them to take the babies. So it's a lot of work. I don't know that we've been fully prepared for any of these challenges, but the hope is to rehome as many as we can.
So, is this in England somewhere?
No, it's in the United States.
Look, here's my advice to you folks. Put those things in a car in a cooler. Drive them to the Atlantic, Pacific, or the Gulf of Mexico, whichever is closest,
and chuck them
in there. They
so
will be fine.
Here's what I don't get. The family arranged 50 separate homes for the babies, right? For the baby octopuses.
Man.
Then they spent thousands of dollars on clams, crabs, and snails and had to cover the cost to repair the damage to their house from spilled water and a small electrical fire.
Well, because the adult octopus was eating.
Oh.
Yeah,
needed us to eat.
Oh,
and
yeah,
a fire
okay.
because they were trying to keep the tank at a certain temperature, as a tropical temperature, where most of them are fine.
Yeah, so I guess he dumped seawater all over the, dirty just, seawater all over the carpet.
We need a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, why would you think getting an octopus is a good idea?
Because they're indulgent. Yeah. Trying to make their child's dreams come true and telling buddy, here's a stuffed octopus from SeaWorld. Live with it. Well, let's go to the aquarium. You can look at them and touch
maybe,
one.
You know, like hold him back and, like, you know, let him keep that desire until it becomes like a marine biologist or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Or at least tells people he's a marine biologist.
Yeah, exactly.
Reached out and pulled out. I reached in, tossed me like a cork, and I noticed something was obstructing its breathing. So I reached down and I pulled out this. Is that a Titleist? Yes, it is.
Was that from Seinfeld?
Seinfeld. Yeah. Seinfeld. Yeah. So I'm reading, curious. This is people from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
One, you in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You're about as far as fucking ocean as you can be.
You tell your cheat kid, you need the cowboy to fuck up, son.
Yeah, I just, the whole thing and the fact that, and actually it's funny because when I went to relook, because I'd seen the article like 2 weeks ago, and I thought, oh, I'm going to bank that in the back of my head because this could be a fun discussion topic, right? So the Daily Mail, the first article that they posted actually had the headline like "Octopus Bankrupts Family," right?
Really?
They've changed their headline since. Oh. They've changed that because it didn't really bankrupt them. They had to spend a lot of money, but like the headline, the initial original article headline read that they like spent their kids' college fund on this octopus and its babies.
I love the Daily
Mail.
I love it for that reason.
Oh, I love it too. I mean, I get a lot of stories from that.
It was.
But why wouldn't you just flush the babies? Just flush them down the toilet into the sewer like everybody else does with snakes and alligators.
Just chuck them out in the backyard in that Oklahoma heat. It'll take care of them.
Or get it.
Feed the ravens. You'll be fine.
Right. That was my whole thing.
Ravens go, ooh, calamari.
And I'm not saying kill living things, right? I'm not saying
Butch
that.
Kind of are, and I'm okay with it.
Well, but I think you have to, like, pros and cons here.
Right.
Well, you know, the first mistake was, one, getting the damn fucking octopus for this kid. Right. That's like the first one. It is compounding. It was, what's this in computers? This is a cascade error.
Right.
Cascade failure. Yeah. It just kept going. It just, they were stupid.
And those things get to be like, what, 8 feet long?
I think you can get them that they're get smaller. Like
pygmy octopi?
Pygmy octopuses.
But dude, they're aliens. Their DNA is not of this world.
They're smart.
Are they?
Yes. Oh, no, there's film evidence of octopi in aquariums, like, escaping at night.
Like, really? Yeah, they're really smart. Like they're on human-level smart is what I've seen.
Wow.
Yeah, articles that are saying that.
Puzzling and, like, getting to the drains to get out of aquariums and all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they're human-level smart.
What's that in Finding Dory or whatever, the sequel to Finding Nemo? That octopus escaping and helping him is like happened in aquariums for real.
So again, why would you want an animal that could escape and like suffocate you in the middle of the night?
Thank you.
Right? Like just get on your face and like alien like.
Yes, looks like the egg layer in Alien. Like, no, thank you.
No, pass.
Yeah, hard pass there.
Yeah, here's a stuffed one.
Take the kid to a zoo.
Yes.
Or an aquarium. And has them, right?
Before, you know, we talked about conspiracy theories earlier. There is one about concerning octopi that they're not of this world. That their alien DNA dropped off by a passing comet or something else.
That's interesting.
But also, I think you could speak to the aliens living in the ocean.
Right.
That's part of their thing that they got this, the octopi.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because they say that some of the particles that make up us are like from distant like galaxies.
Yeah.
Stuff,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, but they I have read articles that say that octopi... I like octopuses better, but whatever, octopi, the correct term, are really, on intelligent level, as smart as humans.
Oh, yeah, they problem solve and everything.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They got these little beaks.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't get your kid an octopus, man.
What's next? Get him a freaking giant squid? I mean, come on, people.
Right, get him a dog or a cat or even a lizard.
You know,
right?
Judging by these people, they should not get their kid any kind of pet.
Fish?
They're irresponsible.
Fish? You know, flush fish down the toilet.
All the time.
I'm all about flushing stuff down the toilet.
You're the reason there are alligators in the New York sewer.
It's like a callback to throw it over the fence, right?
Yes.
Flush
it down the toilet. Down the toilet it goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week on Mr. Science, we're going to shove a canned ham down the commode, right?
I mean, see what you can flush down the toilet before it breaks. Have you ever broken a toilet?
Like trying to do this, flush something?
No. Just in general. Mm-hmm. Never have, huh?
I don't think so. Tell the truth, Chad.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Sean, have you
had to replace seal in a time or two, like.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Sean, have you ever broken a toilet?
I plead the fifth. I may have.
I may have violated the Geneva Conventions a few times taking shits, but I don't think I've broken one yet, right?
Well, put it this way, if they wanted to find Osama bin Laden, they should have just dropped my ass on him. He'd have come out that tunnel.
I mean, you could have sent Chad in. I can tell you that right now.
Again, it's violation of Geneva Conventions.
That's a lethal weapon.
Right.
Like, forget mustard gas. Chad Cottle gas.
Just feed him some Mexican food and turn him loose.
You were
in Jalalabad.
I'm surprised they didn't like get you at the depot.
I know.
Right?
You live right close there now.
Yeah, it's down the road.
Speaking of lethal weapon, real quick, since we're doing crazy asides, did you know that there's actually a lethal weapon song at the end of that movie?
What?
Yes.
Like in the credits
with,
or something?
With lyrics and everything. Huh. Yes.
Who sings it?
Oh, now I got to.
Sinead O'Connor.
I wish.
Who sings it?
We're going to find out. Because, you know, I watch it every year as part of my Christmas celebration.
Because I know Bob Seger does Shake Down, Break Down, Take Down. Yeah, that's Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the buffet plate, you can speak his plums.
And I was listening to Glenn Frey's Smuggler's Blues.
That's a good song.
That's a good song.
Yeah,
you take this. It's all right. You can take it.
Go ahead and take it. That's one of his best roles. Apparently, that was all improvised.
For what?
Damon Wayans and Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, really?
What do I get with the buffet plate? With the buffet plate, you get the peaches, plums, apples,
well, but
oranges,
that's,
and bananas.
You know what that, I mean, that's the living color. That's meant on film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what that became. That
yeah,
was before
two,
that.
Two
yeah.
snaps in a circle.
Are we allowed to use that reference anymore?
Yes. You know what? Yes. Because you know what? Living Color was a damn good show.
In
yes.
Living Color.
It was a funny show.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop also had that guy. Who was the guy that was in Bosom Buddies?
Judge Reinhold's in it.
No, but I know, but the guy who's
Peter
like,
Scolari?
No, the guy that was on Bosom Buddies, the guy that with the that played Balky on Bosom.
Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah, he does that thing, that bit in.
He's in Mannequin.
He's in Beverly Hills Cop when Axel Foley comes at shop.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah, yeah, no, he is. Yeah. He's the art in the art, the art dealer or whatever. Yeah, that's Bronson Pinchot.
Serge.
Yeah, yeah. So you know they've done a third Beverly Hills Cop, right?
Really?
It's coming out on Netflix.
Oh, gosh. Yep. So Lethal Weapon, the theme song, was sold by Honeymoon Suite.
Oh, okay.
And it's got, we'll play it after the.
You don't know Honeymoon Suite? They had a big hit. Hold on, let me look it up.
I spent not a week there one night.
Thanks, Kramer.
Damn.
They were like a metal band, hair metal band.
Bless you, St. Jen.
Well, yeah, they did have a big hit, but I can't think of it.
It's slow kind of power ballad type thing.
Yeah, I know who they are. They were an '80s band. Yeah. They were they're a classic '80s band from Canada. So there you go. Huh? I never knew that they actually did a song that they. Yep. I didn't know there was a Lethal Weapon theme song.
That it was Lethal Weapon theme song.
And see, that's the other thing about the '80s. A lot of good theme songs, TV show theme songs.
Because people
a lot
wrote
of good
music.
Movie soundtracks. Movie
Flash
soundtracks.
Dance, like Michael
what a feeling.
Mello.
Yes.
Dude, there were so many good movie
maniac,
soundtracks.
Maniac.
I know.
You know who, like, I think some of the best musical kind of, I don't want to say scores because they weren't really scores, but musical overlays came from John Hughes movies.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
But he never did soundtrack. Like I think there's a Breakfast Club soundtrack, and there might be a Pretty in Pink soundtrack. There was never a Ferris Bueller's Day soundtrack.
Rights, because they had like Rolling Stone songs.
But he apparently was like a total like record head. Like he was super into all these.
Yeah, I think he wrote some music credit.
Yeah, but he was super into all these like just buying vinyl and all these weird bands and stuff that he introduced in all his movies.
The Beatles were in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Kraftwerk. Ooh,
yes.
Don't.
Yeah.
Is that who that was?
No, it's not Kraftwerk. It's
one of those, like.
It's one of those weird German, whatever.
Yellow.
Yellow's the song. No, okay. Yellow's not the song. I think Yellow's the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yellow. But he had like Big City Now. That's a good song. I can't remember who that is. But yeah, he had so many movies that had so many great songs in them, but didn't do a lot of soundtracks off the back of them.
Right.
Because he couldn't get rights, because he always would go with these bands
that were super
songs.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind
of
tough.
But I will say that you got to admit that there's a lot of 80s soundtracks out there that were just
killer.
They're
bangers. Oh, they're bangers.
Rocky IV, Back to the Future.
I'm going to go back in time.
That's a great soundtrack.
It is.
Weird Science.
John Hughes movie.
Oingo Boingo, is that who that one was?
Yeah.
Dead Man's Party, which was in
Back to School.
And also it was in the other one, the one with Val Kilmer.
Real Genius?
Yep.
Yeah, Real Genius.
That's a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that movie.
The guy that lives in the basement and calculates the odds to win all the prizes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Laszlo.
And he said, I was off by a decimal point, and I didn't win everything. I just won this and this.
Yeah. No, that's it. You talk about quintessential Cold War movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got to stop them from the Star Wars or whatever, which is kind of funny because I've heard some countries are now super into kind of launching stuff from space now.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. Yeah. A lot of good soundtracks from the '80s. All right. Well,
a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
Don't buy an octopus for a pet. Just don't do it.
Why?
They don't make good pets. You can't pet them. They're going to come out of their aquarium at night and suck your face off.
Or some spaceship's going to come and you're going to have dreams of alien abductions because
you got abducted. And you're going to have problems. So let's not do that. All right, so didn't blind anybody today, but we did have a bourbon that I was allowed to open. This is from the pre-approved bourbon area.
It's from the curated section of the lounge.
Right, from the curated section of crap.
That's all you can buy now.
Right, yeah, pretty much. Curated crap. Yeah.
So, Chad, what is the Kentucky Silk that's on
just
the...
straight bourbon whiskey, 92 proof.
So, we've had a Kentucky Silk straight, 92 proof, whatever. This is the Kentucky Silk straight bourbon whiskey weeded single barrel cask strength, 115 proof. This is a Liquor Barn Select pick. So, thoughts on that?
For something that's just aged 2 years, I thought it was fucking excellent. It had a great taste to it. Not like, it doesn't seem structurally imbalanced. It didn't seem like just heat. It was smooth from that wheat and had a nice cherry note to it, I thought. I thought it was really good for something that young. I can't imagine what that'd be like in 4, 5, 6 years.
I'd have to agree with you, Chadley. I was pleasantly surprised. Nice fruity undertones. It didn't kill me. I mean, I may have to have another one when we get off the air, but yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
It wasn't hot.
No, which not at all.
For 115 was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Aged 2 years, the color on it's really nice.
Right. So it's at a minimum of 2 years. Yeah. So this one might be a little bit, but it's really good.
The color on it's nice. I did think it had a little sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, not super hot. But
the wheat makes it mellows it out.
Yeah, mellows. It was very mellow. Yeah.
Yeah. Super tasty.
I can't
imagine what it'd be like, you know, if they're popping these bangers out in a few years from now. That'd be worth drinking, like, on the reg.
Yeah, for sure. I can't imagine that John paid more than $35 for this bottle.
Not sure.
I have no idea. Obviously, he got it from Liquor Barn because it's one of their picks. But I can't imagine it was more than $40. I don't know. It's a pick, maybe a little bit more. You never can tell with that. But overall, pretty decent selection.
Yeah,
pretty good okay.
One. Yeah. Let's hide that one from John so that he doesn't get a drink in here.
Well, and especially
I like that answer,
especially from the areas that I'm allowed to pick from. I mean, not bad.
Because I looked at some of the other stuff, and I was like, crap.
It's mostly garbage.
Because again, like I said, like a few minutes ago, that's all that's on the shelf right now.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, he does have a couple of more bottles back there, that Kirkland's that we had 2 weeks on the last show. That stuff's good.
Y'all had Kirkland's last time y'all got together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
just the 1792?
No, it was the barrel. It was the Kirkland's.
No, but I mean, is it still? They switched
it was made.
Yeah. The barrel proof or whatever. That stuff's recommend.
Okay, so this at the Barn of Liqueur, this is $40.
Oh, okay, so I was right in there, $35, $40.
Yeah. I might swing up there and get one if they've still got them.
Yeah, not bad.
I thought it was solid.
Couldn't tell you when he got it, so.
Right.
Yeah, but if you see one out there, pick it up for sure for $40. Yeah, solid. All righty. Well, Chad, you didn't get to weigh in because you weren't here
two weeks ago
about the whole UK basketball stuff.
Man, I've got so many opinions on that probably I talked about that. If my friend John came in, he used to live on our street, and then he and his family moved to just north of Atlanta in the burbs there. But he stopped in last week. We talked about it over lunch. He's a passionate diehard BBN guy. I think it was a classic blunder by the person in charge. Mm. I think it was
both of them.
The head of the department.
Mm-hmm.
We won't. I won't.
AD. You know, yeah. The AD.
Well, I'm not going to say names. I think ultimately it might work for UK, but you could have got that at a much, much, much cheaper price.
$2 million a year?
Yeah, plenty.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two or three.
The dude would want to come here anyway. Yes.
But I do like John's theory that they just had this contract. They just kept crossing off names. And then here, you just sign here, sir.
That makes more sense to me than how it played out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got nothing against him. Love that team. From what I've heard, the kids like to be around him. He likes to coach.
Yeah, he can coach.
Can coach. We don't have a roster really right now. That concerns me.
It's coming. He's getting there.
We didn't get some of those portal picks that we were projected to get. I think ultimately it could be fine, but does this fan base, as rabid as they are, do they have the patience to put up with rebuilding?
Well, and that's always...
Because this is like when Rick came in.
Yeah, so that's been my concern. I guess about the whole thing is this going to end in hurt feelings?
Yep.
Because I don't on both sides, right? On fan base and his. I don't want it to. Hope it. I hope it's. I'm rooting for it, right?
Yeah, I hope. I'm rooting for it. He's successful. I'm not a hater,
but I hope. I don't want it to end in hurt feelings.
Right. And it could. I mean, look what happened to Kenny Payne. What, 2 years? And
right.
It
will.
I was surprised that he did not keep. What's his face?
Orlando.
Orlando. Orlando apparently was still working. Was still like having meetings.
Orlando Antigua almost Costanza'd it where he just kept
showing up. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He just keeps showing up.
I think that would have been a good play but for the recruiting and for a little bit of continuity.
Maybe,
right?
But I also feel like you want a total clean break. Start.
I get that.
Head of department said we want a clean break.
But look at what Antigua didn't go to Arkansas. He went back to Illinois. Right? Yeah. So I think that says everything.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's fair. But, you know, the big thing for me is, you know, will the fan base have the tolerance?
No.
That's probably the Vegas line is no.
Yeah. But, you know, it's because of what we talk about pre-show every week. It's the internet.
Yeah.
Had this been like when Tubby came in and there was no internet, they would have the tolerance.
Well,
but now you can like.
And that's an interesting thing, too, is when Tubby was on the way out, right, mm-hmm. in 2009, whatever. I think Twitter was a thing, but it was very small.
It was still chat rooms in infancy, right?
Yeah.
Bulletin boards.
And Tubby did not have that, and now you've got this, and it's insane.
You know, I mean, but on the positive side, kudos to him for, like, drawing that kind of money. I mean, it's an obscene amount of money for somebody who's unproven.
Right? Yeah.
That doesn't have a long track record.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he could have gotten the guy for, like you said, $2 million.
Four,
worst
whatever.
Case, right?
Yeah.
And you could have probably set it up so that you didn't have a buyout if you parted ways. I mean, I think there was a lot of, there was some piss poor negotiation, I think, on our side.
Sure.
Because I think the guy would have wanted to come here just for what this place means.
Oh, absolutely.
It meant to him.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, for sure. No, I don't disagree with that at all.
It wasn't like the money was the lure.
But
it was the job that was the lure.
But I think they already had the contract drawn up, crossed out all the names, and just said, sign here. Yeah. We don't want to draw up another contract, guy.
Our legal department just says, just fill in the blank here.
What, here?
Insert a name here, right?
Yeah. Well, here's something about the interesting university legal department. They don't believe in record retention. They just settle lawsuits.
What?
That's terrible.
Well, I'm not. I'm not surprised.
Right. Yeah. Based on our pre-show conversation.
Yes.
I'm kind of not surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the things that if you don't keep things, they don't become discoverable, right?
Nope. You know? No. They keep shit.
Oh, they do.
And just will settle.
Go academia. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Call me in. I'm not into recruiting. I don't, like, you know, I'm always. Call me in October when the season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see what we got. But I mean, Cal looks absolutely miserable in Arkansas.
Because he miserable. Is. He got to call him pigs twice a year.
Dude, I don't know if you've seen recent video footage of him. Uh-oh. Oh.
Was it just not a good color for him and everything?
No, he looks miserable. He looks like somebody, please, for the love of God, get me. He's not going to last that 5-year contract.
Well, he's going to retire next year.
3 years. I actually give him 3 years.
I give him 2 at the most.
Really?
Yeah.
But
his ego won't allow
but
him.
But Kenny went to Arkansas with him, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 Everybody went to Arkansas with him, except Tyler Euless.
You know what?
And
so Orlando. Tyler's still working on his degree, right?
Yeah. He can't go anywhere.
Which, you know what, is absolutely fine because that slate of assistant coaches.
Didn't do nothing here.
Straight garbage.
Hey, but Chin still got that drip. I wonder if he got that drip on Arkansas colors, though.
You know what? You know why Chin got that drip? Because Chin just basically collected a paycheck and bought clothes and didn't do anything else.
Fair.
Word.
Facts.
So will Euless return to the bench then, you think?
That's the rumor, that if he finishes his degree, that they'll bring him on as a coach, or at least start him again as a graduate assistant.
Uh-huh.
And then bring him in.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, Pope's all about the players and former players.
Well, you know, the point guard play got better at UK when he came in.
Yeah.
I mean, literally it did.
Yeah.
When he brought him in last year, the point guard play got better.
It did. Yeah, it did. It did. So I don't know. We'll see. Again, Chad, I'm rooting for it.
Yeah.
Totally. I just hope there's not hurt feelings. In 3 years, I hope there's not hurt feelings on, well, I'll give it 4. I don't know. I just hope there's not hurt feelings on both sides. That's,
you know, the only thing. The only thing that concerns me though about and another thing is like with Cal, there was like that promise of being on the greatest stage, of having Drake and all these, like just having this cohort of basically like learning how to be a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you potentially vaulted into that stratosphere.
Yep.
There's not that there, right? And I don't know what kind of allure. You're basically, it's back to me, it's almost back to the Eddie Sutton, like, Hall days. When you're going there. No, I mean, you're going there because you feel it's just a blue blood school. There's no cult of personality there that's just like pulling all these people in. I think we've lost that.
We can get all the Mormons.
Wow.
We got Mr. Kentucky basketball coming in again. I mean, you know, it's.
Yeah.
We lost one.
Yeah.
Was Reed? Yeah, he was Reed.
He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. And
I mean, he's projected to be lighter. You can't walk away. You can't walk away. You can't take a chance coming back here and having like
and tearing
a so-so Caesar. Or
tearing your
you
LCE,
can because ACL? The NIL, man.
Not the
guaranteed money you get from a lottery pick.
No. Yeah.
Even if he goes and fans out after those 3 years or never gets it, like, that's life-changing money.
Well,
and his dad's a financial advisor.
That's exactly right. Yeah. His dad is a financial advisor.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get John to get... Like, can we go to Jeff Shepard's financial advisor or whatever? Anyway.
Well, Reed will end up with more money than his daddy.
Oh, for sure. Well, and he won't have to pay for the lawyer if his mama punched somebody in the second year.
Right.
So I'm telling you, that she's gonna hurt somebody.
Oh, no,
she's
intense. We got stories.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. End of the show. Shout outs.
Shout out to my boy, Rory. He just finally won a PGA tournament. It's been a minute.
He had help.
Yeah, with his buddy Shane Lowry.
Fun tournament this apparently is. The New Orleans one?
Yeah, but it's just like, it just doesn't have the draw that these are. Because this is usually where the big names all took the week off.
Sure.
Right?
But tell you,
Scotty could play with
but
like...
But you have to admit that Masters was kind of meh.
I mean, but it's kind of was expected. I mean, Scotty's playing out of his mind, right? Yes. He's like, this is like a little, like a mini Tiger run for him. It's kind of like a mini Jordan run. I mean, the kid is literally on everything, like tee to green, like, you know, around the green. The only thing that was missing from his game was putting, and he's improved that. He got a new putting coach.
Uh-huh.
The Masters was exciting the first couple of days because of just the god-awful weather and playing in that wind.
But
Saturday and Sunday were just
meh.
Yeah, I mean, it was expected for him to take that lead and just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but again, you know, it's generally not my favorite major of the year anyway.
Right. Which is yours?
Oh, the Open, the British
Open. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
Then probably the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Then maybe a Masters, then PGA. Right?
Okay.
Speaking of PGA, next month is going to be in Louisville.
Barbasol. Well, it's not Barbasol anymore, but...
Louisville.
Valhalla in Louisville is going to host the PGA.
Oh.
That major.
Oh,
what's
okay.
What's the date for that? Do you remember?
Mid Mid-May sometime.
Mid-May.
Yeah, because they've compressed the schedule now. They're all before July now.
Yep. July is the last one.
Yeah. The U.S. Open.
No, that's British.
The Open.
A.K.A. The Open.
The Open.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of like bummed, kicking myself, because the last time a buddy of mine had tickets and wanted me to take me to Valhalla time I was there, and I didn't go. So.
Oh, you should go.
Well, if he gets tickets and offers this time, yeah. I definitely will.
Sean?
I got nothing. I'm cool.
No shout outs.
Slow week.
Okay. Well, my shout out, John, who went and made that money today. So
paper. Gotta make that paper.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Always appreciate them dollar bills, yo. Keeping me in my whatever lifestyle. I don't have a lifestyle, but
keeping you in your thousandaire lifestyle, right?
Right.
Thousandaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least you ain't taking home $70,000 a month after taxes.
Right. We ain't gonna talk about that off. Right. But no, always appreciate that. And always appreciate you, dear listener.
Thank y'all for hanging out.
Thank you for listening to us. Three of us. As always, thank you.
And if
you
know, triumvirate.
If you know, you know. And if you don't,
you ain't old enough.
You probably shouldn't.
And don't buy them octopuses, people.
No, yeah, no.
Don't buy
no,
them octopuses.
No. Go watch Octopussy with James Bond. It's
a good movie. That's a good.
All the Bonds are great.
We should have talked about that movie. Oh, well, next time. We'll see you. We'll see you then. We'll see you next time. See ya.
Bye.
Dun-dun. 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 Dun-dun.